T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
U.S. Senator Mark Warner is kind enough to join us on the air today. And I really appreciate you calling in today after the president made his announcement about this new immigration plan. What's your hot take on that yesterday?
Well, first of all, John, congratulations if you're at the zoo. If you ever want to come up to the zoo that's called Congress, maybe we could do one live streaming from the floor of the House or the Senate.
It would be almost as entertaining, I'm sure, as the orangutans in front of me right now. Yeah.
But you may get better answers from some of the zoo animals.
Right.
In terms of the president's plan, I think it kind of has gone over like a dud. Because two parts. On the more Republican side, he didn't do anything to cut back the overall numbers on immigration. On the Democratic side, he didn't deal with the Dreamers or the close to 10 million people undocumented, kind of left them both in limbo. And then just from an organizing point of view, there was no pre-meetings. Even the Republican folks who he would have looked to for early endorsement, they had no prep materials. There was no preview or anything. My sense is this is more a political statement, maybe for the campaign. Now, let me go ahead and I don't often agree with this president, but some of the ideas he's put in this plan, which were to move an immigration reform towards trying to make sure that we offer more visa space to highly trained individuals. I mean, for a long time, people in business have said, if you've got a master's or PhD in engineering or a STEM field, let's target it, staple a green card next to that. And right. Other countries like Canada and Australia and the UK have reformed their immigration systems towards that approach. So I guess I'd say the overall approach is not, it might have had some value to it if I think he'd done some of the pre-work to either try to gain some allies on this. But so far, most of the people up on the Hill have kind of thought, well, this is going nowhere.
Yeah. Well, when I was a staffer in the Senate, this was before you arrived, everyone sat around talking about it, but no one took action. And so I'm not attacking you when I say, don't you think Congress has to take this seriously and decide whether they're actually going to move at some point?
John, fair point. But I would go back to the point now been 5 or 6 years ago where John McCain and actually even Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer and a couple of others came up with a plan that really was comprehensive. It got 69 votes in the Senate, and it dealt with the undocumented people. It did include some of these reforms towards more high-skill H-1B and other visas. Unfortunately, the House, which was then controlled by Paul Ryan, never even looked at that bill. Mm-hmm. I think there was many of the moderate Republicans who were part of that effort, there were like 17, 18, I think are no longer there. But it feels like both sides have hardened. I mean, I think some level I would be open to some level of compromise plan, but it's got to at least include the Dreamers and also give, I think, just some clarity to close to 10 million people who are here undocumented. But if you're going to do immigration reform, give them some path. And the earlier bills had them go back home and have to go wait a long period of time. But there was some legal certainty for those folks.
Okay. Well, it sounds like everybody's pretty far apart on that, so I don't know where it moves. I know you wanted to talk about your plan for a military housing with all the military men and women and the vets in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Where is that going these days, and what have you actually proposed?
This is one where I'm happy to say there is broad bipartisan. And a minute of background. You may have read some of the stories, whether it's in Fort Lee, whether it's at Fort Eustis, whether it's down in Norfolk Naval Station. These poor soldiers and sailors who are living in this military housing, it's got mold, it's sometimes rodent infested, and they seem to have no recourse. The way this happened was really go back almost 22, 23 years ago when somebody had a bright idea. It was during Bill Clinton, so I'm not trying to be partisan here, where somebody said, well, you know, we got a lot of military housing needs. Let's go ahead and privatize military housing. And they gave eight companies 50-year leases to manage all of our military housing. Well, in the short term, maybe that helped because some new housing was built. But the contracts, the military got snookered on the contracts, because there's no real incentive for the companies to treat the tenants, the soldiers and sailors who live in this house, with any kind of respect. And frankly, the military chain of command, you know, you may be an expert as an artillery officer. Very few people go into the military to manage housing. So that the military chain of command has not helped our soldiers and the sailors. The companies have gotten, frankly, pretty darn greedy, and they know they can mostly outweigh a soldier or a sailor because chances are they'll be rotated every couple of years. And it really is it's a real horror story. Some of the soldiers I saw at Fort Lee, the level of sickness that their kids had gotten, and I've got a kid who's got allergies, could make me crazy. So in the defense bill, we're going to put some new rules in place. There's going to be more tenant bill of rights. But what I'm trying to do as well is get these public companies, private sector companies, to come back in and embarrass the heck out of them, honestly, to try to get some improvements in the short term. And part of that may also include trying to make sure that each of the service areas has a group of housing experts that can help advise them.
I can imagine that would get broad bipartisan support. It sounds very reasonable.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer. This is a complete no-brainer. We just need more attention. And frankly, what frustrates me is with what's called Lincoln Military Housing down in Norfolk. This came up back in 2011, and I raised all kinds of heck. And for about 2 years, it got fixed. And what happened is, you know, the companies went back to not giving customer service, and the military took their eye off the ball again.
Yeah. Well, listen, congratulations on bringing that attention to it, and we'll follow as you proceed with the legislation. I hope that it's successful. I know we're running short on time. I have to ask you about the Mueller report. Do you and your party feel a little embarrassed that this thing essentially cleared the president?
I don't, John, I don't feel embarrassed. I thought the Mueller report, I'm glad he was able to finish. I've got questions in a number of areas where he didn't go further, but I'm not here to try to relitigate 2016. What I am concerned about, here's the thing I'm most concerned about. I'll try to do this quickly. How do we make sure our elections are going to be safe in 2016?
Right.
To pass this legislation. Even if I accept Mueller, that said, even though there were 100 contacts between Russians and Trump officials, and even though the Trump campaign manager gave campaign documents to the Russians, maybe if that was not to the level of a conspiracy, I think on a going forward basis, any campaign, presidential or otherwise, if you get contacted by an agent of a foreign government offering you assistance, you need to turn that information over to the FBI. It was help Trump last time, Democrat next time. Let's make sure there's an affirmative obligation to report that, number one. Number two, make sure that we pass election security legislation. Yeah. They broke into a number of systems, didn't change the votes, but I think we ought to have a paper trail out of our machines so if they do get hacked into, people can have confidence, making sure we have appropriate
to actually hand count
there's
it.
There's stripes and support there. And then the last thing is I think we need some rules around social media.
Yeah. Well, that most of that sounds very smart, so I'll be curious to see when we see legislation.
Well, most of it would be just one last thing.
Yep.
Elections, I think we get 85. I believe you'd be worried when you've got the former Secretary of Homeland Security who...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2020,
hey.
And she was told not to because the president didn't want to talk about that stuff. We might be embarrassed about it. That's not right.
Yeah. Hey, Senator Warner, Mark Warner, the former governor of Virginia, and the senator, it sounds like your phone is breaking up a little bit, and we are out of time. I really always appreciate it when you join us on the air, and I thank you. I hope we'll talk to you again very soon. Thank you, sir.
Enjoy Zoo. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.